You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Yeah, and thinking more about the Seahawks issues that we were talking about yesterday, I really think they have to consider the best way to put everyone in the best positions to succeed. That's how you have the most long-term success. That's how you dig yourself out of the hole that they're in. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good day, whether you're listening on the radio at 710 or if you're online at 710sports.com in the stream or the app or however you're choosing to listen to this show. Maybe you're listening to us later on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Subscribe, rate it. Come on, give us a good rating. We're still at 4.5, Justin. Success. I saw the other day. We're still at 4.5. I think I checked 2 days ago. I don't think I looked yesterday, so maybe
I told you I'm out of money, so I can't pay any more favors.
All right. Well, we're at 4.5 on the old star rating there at Apple Podcasts. So yeah, however you choose to listen, we appreciate it. We were just playing you some sound from Marcus Spears on NFL Live or NFL Today or NFL Countdown or NFL something on ESPN, and Marcus says Russ is out of here.
First of all, Russ gone. All right, I'm sorry, MK.
I don't know.
He gone.
I'm sorry, MK is so funny. Talking to Mina Kimes.
She's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, MK. He gone. Right? So Marcus is pretty definitive about that. And then Mina Kimes, for her side of it, was, you know, kind of looking at a bigger picture and saying, well, who's to blame here?
The single biggest problem with this football team is the front office. And how the football team is performing right now, it is the product of years of bad decisions at this point. Frankly, dating back to right after Russell Wilson was drafted. I mean, look at the first and second round draft picks since 2013. I mean, just walking you through, a lot of these guys aren't on the team anymore. Christy Michael, Justin Britt, Paul Richardson, Frank Clark, that's actually a good trade for them. Jaren Reed, Jermaine Fetty, Postage is on the team, hasn't been playing much. Lee McDowell was kind of a complicated case. Rashad Penny, he's been hurt, but that was a bad draft pick. That was a first rounder. DK, home run. Marquise Blair, second rounder, he's been hurt. LJ Collier has been a healthy scratch, played a bit. Daryl Taylor and Jordan Brooks, Duane Ace-Kirch, I'd say the jury's still out. Those guys were picked recently. That is a bad record.
16 picks on that.
On top of that, Dan, they traded first rounders for Jimmy Graham, Percy Harvin. I'm talking about since 2013. Jimmy Graham, Percy Harvin, and now most recently, Jamal Adams. Two first rounders. The body of work at a certain point is not great. And we know Pete Carroll has a hand in personnel as well in Seattle. I'm just saying,
that's bad.
Look at that list.
You're dead on.
I mean, when you try to figure out what's wrong with this team, what changes need to be made, how can you ignore the elephant in the room, which is it's not been a well-run football team for a minute?
The reason you can ignore is because for a long time they've covered up all those things. Russ has done all of that. And I don't look, I think there are issues with the roster. I don't think it's a great roster, but I didn't watch the game this weekend and think, oh, yeah, no, Washington has a much better roster than the Seahawks. I didn't come away without watching the game. You got scheme issues. You got coaching issues. I mean, like, we could find just as much as I find someone there from Mina saying that it's the front office. I could spend five minutes scouring our sound bank here, and I'll find somebody saying it's the coaches, and they didn't do this, and they didn't put guys in the right position to succeed. I think it was Dan Orlovsky yesterday. I didn't even get a chance to hear it. I just saw a tweet about it, and I'm sure it went on beyond that of saying the coaching and the scheme is ridiculous with the Seahawks. So everyone's choosing sides. Russell, John, Pete, coaching. Quarterback play, talent, etc. We said this yesterday. There's problems in all three places.
That's what makes this feel so hopeless right now, right?
This argument, we're arguing about the wrong thing, right? We're arguing, don't accept the premise of the question. Stop arguing about which thing is the biggest problem and start recognizing the fact that there is a major problem that needs to get fixed. So how do you fix the problem? Not by casting blame back and forth. All three of the people who are primarily in question, Pete, John, and Russ, have had tremendous success in their careers. John did not forget how to look at football players and evaluate them. Pete Carroll did not forget how to coach, nor did his philosophy go out of style. It's not true. Didn't happen. Russell Wilson did not forget how to play quarterback. He may have briefly have forgotten how to throw the ball because of his finger, but he didn't forget how to play quarterback. He's been one of the best in the league for a decade. So why can't it work right now with these three guys? Well, I don't think they're necessarily putting themselves in the best positions to succeed. Starts with Pete. What is Pete best at? What is Pete's number one strength? He's got many of them. Pete, by the way, is a defensive X's and O's guy who came up as a defensive coordinator with the Niners and got his head coaching job because of his chops as a defensive coordinator. Pete really knows how to coach defense. He really does. He's one of the best in the league at it. Trust me. Pete's a really good defensive coach. So that's one thing he's good at. But what is he best at? Leading. Isn't Pete one of the best leaders in the NFL? One of the best culture builders, one of the best
hype men,
just overall
getting people fired up.
Turning a building into a place that players want to come to and play every day. That sounds easy. It's not. Pete's one of the best in the NFL, one of the best in sports at creating the right culture, creating a place where players can thrive. That is what he's best at. John needs to focus on players. John needs to focus on players. Maybe they need some more separation between Pete and John, right? We hear the Colin Cowherds, and then you just heard Mina Kimes saying that Pete's got a say in what happens with personnel. Maybe they need to separate that out a little bit. I don't know. Again, this is where Jody Allen or somebody's going to need to step in and mitigate and try to figure out how these guys all work together. But I don't think you just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have a legitimate conversation about putting people in the right position to succeed. You know what Russ needs to work on and do? You know what Russ is really good at?
Earlier you said sleeping.
He does need to sleep more. But you know what he's best at? Playing quarterback.
Playing football.
Yeah, playing quarterback. You know what Russ needs to do? Play quarterback. Don't play GM. Don't play offensive coordinator and try to choose the guy you want. Don't play hero and try to show us that you're better than everybody else by coming back early.
Don't play PR machine. Play quarterback.
I know people get mad anytime I mention anything having to do with the Patriots or Bill Belichick or anything, but Belichick's got this right. What was Belichick's famous quote when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago? Do your job. Not somebody else's job. Do your job. Don't do somebody else's job. Do your job. So for Pete Carroll, be the head coach. Don't be the GM. For John Schneider, be the GM, find the right guys, and do it well. Get people on the bus here that are actually worthy of being first-round picks, etc., not guys you want to scratch. And for Russell Wilson, do your job. Be the quarterback, not the GM, not the offensive coordinator, not the owner, not the PR machine. Be the quarterback. Focus on that. To me, that's how you get the Seahawks out of the world that they've gotten themselves into. And it's not atypical when people are in positions for a long time for them to want to branch out and do more. Look, I worked in management for a while. This was something we used to talk about all the time. Do your job, not the job you want to do. First do your job, then we'll deal with the job that you want to do. But first, you got to do your job. Well, I have this, but what I really want to do is that. Okay. Let's have a conversation about how you could maybe get to that job one day. But in the meantime, you got to do your job. Do what you were hired to do. Pete, coach the team. John, pick the groceries. Russ, play quarterback. It's like everyone's trying to do somebody else's job right now. Do your job. Not someone else's. Not the job that like, because you've gotten bored with your own, or you think you've mastered it, or you think that if only that person did it right, you were having success. Do your job. Get back to the basics. So who steps in to do that? I don't know if it's Jody Allen. I would think it is. She's the owner of the team. I don't know what her style is. Right? I've heard she's direct, but I don't know Jody.
And who's in the circle to help Jody?
I don't know enough of that. I know Bert Kolb is a part of this, right? And Chuck Arnold's a part of this. But I don't know how all of that works inside their front office. I'm not going to pretend to. Quite frankly, I don't really care. What I do want to know is how they're going to, whether it's a meeting with the three of them, individual conversations, whatever it is, get the right people here playing football, coach them up, and let Russ be Russ. Not let Russ cook. Let Russ play quarterback. Not let Russ decide what offensive system he wants. Did Russ handpick his offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. I don't know. I don't know how all that worked. I mean, it's still a little messy.
Can you?
But he certainly had a hand in it.
Can you, as they say, put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point with some of this stuff? Can everyone go back to realizing what their jobs are and just do them?
I don't know. It's a really good question.
You know, finger pointing starts when it gets to this point.
It's a really, really good question. I think the answer depends on the type of leadership you have at the top and whether or not you're able to communicate and whether or not it's too far gone. I don't think it's too far gone. I really don't. I don't think it's too far gone. Yeah, I think that there's some messiness right now. Of course there is. You're 3-8. There's going to be some finger pointing. There have already been some issues, right? We know about, you know, Mark Rogers and his, but I don't think with Pete, Russ, and John, three people that I hold a tremendous amount of respect for, I don't think it's too far gone for any of that. I think that it's time for them to figure out how to do their own job and do it to the best of their ability. Pete coaches. John general manages, and Russ plays quarterback. And yeah, I do think he needs to get a little sleep. Get a little rest, dude. Get a little rest.
It's okay to be Mr. Limited once in a while.
Be Mr. I need to get some sleep and rest and actually heal versus I'm working 19 hours a day, because I don't know that that's necessarily the best path to getting yourself right and your head right and your fundamentals right and all of that. Sometimes you just got to relax. Get away for a little bit, dude.
Sing about yogurt.
Sing about yogurt. That's exactly right. Because, you know, you're hearing all these calls now for Russ to go elsewhere. Do we have that, the giant sound? Do we have that on here? I'm looking for it here.
I thought I added it, but I do.
I don't see it on here.
Myself, if not.
We had this morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. More I'll find it here in a sec. I mentioned that Jason McIntyre was saying that the Steelers and Broncos should be a place for Russ. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max had a different place and had like a whole cockamamie scenario. I'll tell you what. It's like not the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And Key says, earlier in the show, it smells like Sean Payton's going to leave at the end of the year. Mina Kimes then said that Russell Wilson should start to get some of the blame in Seattle. And we know that Wilson had the Saints on his list of teams that he'd be willing to be traded to because his agent put his name on it and put it in the media last year, right? Or in the offseason. Here are the four teams we take a trade to. Was it because of Sean Payton? What if Payton leaves? Could the Giants pursue a package deal for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton at the end of the season?
I think that's kind of an interesting idea, by the way. And I'm not jumping on the trade Russ bandwagon at all. But if you are going to trade Russ, look, the four teams that he mentioned and people have kind of gone through it, they generally don't work for various reasons. I always felt like it was sort of a trap by the agent, by Mark Rogers. Put out these four teams, even though none of them are realistic possibilities. So, of course, there's nothing anybody can do. He just gets to embarrass everybody, which I think is his goal. But the Giants are an interesting idea. If Sean Payton is the kind of coach who Russ would want to play for, and I would absolutely believe that he is, because of Russ's feelings for Drew Brees, how much he looks up to him, how much he thinks that that's a kind of career he'd like. I think Russ and Sean Payton, yeah, I could see Russ wanting to play for Sean, wanting to put up the big numbers that Sean can get as quarterback, because that seems to be important to Russ. Yeah, I could see that. Could I see Sean Payton as the Giants head coach? Yes, he's got a history in New York, of course. Did the Giants, a kind of blue-blooded franchise, New York City, could I see all of that coming together? Yeah, I could. If the Seahawks do end up deciding that at the end of this thing they want to trade Russ, I do think that that's a fit. I don't think they're going to trade Russell Wilson. But if they were to, I think of all of the various trade scenarios I've heard, that one makes the most sense.
Weird. See, I heard it on my way in and I was like, that's crazy.
That's why? Weird.
Why? What made you say that?
Well, first of all, because both of them are with teams right now. I guess I hadn't heard anything about Sean Payton leaving. I don't know if Keyshawn was speculating or if he knows something.
I don't know. But if he decided he wanted to leave, you know, they have cap issues. They don't have a quarterback, right? Like, if he could see, you know, these head coaches, look at Brian Kelly. Charming guy, by the way. Look at how these coaches want to put themselves in the best situation to win also. If he's up for a new challenge, doesn't want to, you know, isn't happy about the way things are in New Orleans, I mean, if there's one person that I think they would want in New York, it's Sean Payton, and vice versa.
He's like, good luck, have fun with all the money I gave Taysom Hill.
Yes.
See you later.
And then gave him again. Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't he? Yeah, I'm going to go figure this out for myself. I'll go over here. Yeah, I actually thought of all the trade scenarios I've heard, that's the one that probably makes the most sense. Other than giving him back to the Jets in order to get all of your picks back. I mean, that one, I feel like it'd just be too painful to see anybody do.
No.
So that's kind of where we're at. Just do your job. I know that, you know, that's maybe an unpopular view on this whole thing. But, Pete, stick to leading. And by the way, that may mean that you need to make some changes, significant ones in the scheme. It may mean that you've got to bring in some different coordinators, et cetera, and bring in the right guys to run the kind of system that you want to run and commit to your identity. I mean, there's more that has to happen. But what should Pete Carroll do? Lead. What should John Schneider do? Find good players. And what should Russell Wilson do? Play quarterback specifically and nothing else. That's what you're best at. And that's what the job requires right now. It's 7:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
With the collective bargaining agreement set to expire tonight, it looks like the Mariners offseason will have to be on a hiatus. No league business can be transacted once that goes into effect. So that means no more free agent signings, no more trades, no nothing until the two sides work out a new deal. So assuming that occurs, as everybody expects that it will, going to have two notable additions to go with two notable subtractions so far in this offseason. Kyle Seager and Yusei Kikuchi are out. Adam Frazier and Robbie Ray are in. Now, that's a clear upgrade in the pitching department. Ray, likely now the top pitcher on the staff. He's coming off his Cy Young season in Toronto. By the way, he's going to join me coming up in 45 minutes at 8 o'clock. Yeah, he's really good. As for Frazier, look, he's not a replacement for Kyle Seager, but he's a useful piece, one that can still hit, one that can play multiple positions. The Seager replacement, I think, is still to come, and we know that the team's been interested in landing a run-producing infielder who can take his place. We've heard Chris Taylor's name, Chris Bryant's name, Trevor Story's name. All of them are unsigned, and there's still plenty of people who could be had through the trade route as well as others. So there's so many options out there and available still for the Mariners. But we're likely going to have to wait a few months to find out who it is. Because of this whole CBA thing, those teams that are looking to trade for prospects, they may prefer to know what that CBA agreement looks like, as Ryan Divish told Wyman and Bob yesterday.
And I think also, if you're the teams like the A's and the Reds, and you're looking to trade, you know, if the A's are looking to trade Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and the three pitchers, or the Reds are trying to trade Sonny Gray and those guys, you kind of want to, you're looking for prospects, so you want to know what the CBA is in terms of player control of these prospects, because that's going to matter.
The team did tender contracts to 33 players on their roster yesterday. Also reached a one-year deal with reliever Casey Sadler, avoiding arbitration there. And the same with Andres Munoz. He signs a four-year deal. Hard-throwing reliever was the guy they got from San Diego in that Ty France deal. He throws really hard, made his return from Tommy John surgery at the very end of last season.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, six games left for the Seahawks, and at 3-8, the playoffs are obviously not a realistic possibility, but still plenty to compete for right now, including trying to get their quarterback right, trying to make him look like Russell Wilson again. According to Pete Carroll, he did take responsibility in the locker room after the loss.
And he told him, he said, I got to do better. And guys know, they don't have to say a lot. It's not a lot of words. It's just the sincerity and the care, you know, that he brought to it. It was, you know, it was heartfelt. And he's doing everything you can do. He's doing everything you can do. He's staying up late. He's getting up early. He's practicing hard. He's staying after practice. He's getting the reps, the whole thing. He's doing everything he can do. And that's, everybody should understand that. That's really clear.
Yeah, as I hear that, I just keep thinking, do a little less. Sleep a little bit. Don't work 19 hours a day rehabbing your finger. Get some rest. Relax a little bit. Return to being you. Do some mindfulness meditation. Get the Headspace app out. Just chill out a little bit.
Headspace app.
Seriously. Hey, Russ, go find Headspace for a little bit. I think, honestly, nothing would help him more than that. And you know, I don't want to hear later from anybody, oh, well, Russ doesn't really work 19 hours a day, so just figure of speech. Well, then stop peddling it. Get some rest. You are a human being. And by the way, you're an older human being than you were even a couple days ago. You're now 33. These things get harder as you get older, and maybe you need to change it up a little bit and actually find a way to sleep. There's so much that ails the Seahawks right now, but how much of it would be alleviated if we were just seeing Russell play like the guy we've watched for a decade? I love Russell Wilson. I think he's covered up issues on this roster for a long time, but he's not playing like himself right now. He's been tentative. He's been inaccurate. He's made poor decisions, and I want to see the real Russell Wilson back.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, could the next Husky coach spell the end for their big-time future quarterback? I think it's a realistic possibility. New Husky head man Kalen DeBoer introduced yesterday as the next coach of the Washington Huskies. He is excited, certainly, about what lies ahead.
This program's got a strong history and tradition, national championships, and that's something, as you know, if you've kind of taken a look, that's something I'd like to be a part of, okay? And it's being the best. And that's our goal.
He also brings with him a resume of offensive success at Indiana, some head coaching experience at Fresno State. But he might be bringing a quarterback with him as well. Former Husky Jake Haener flourished under DeBoer at Fresno, entered the transfer portal yesterday. We know that for sure. Now, if Haener's simply looking to upgrade to a Power 5 school after losing his coach, fine, good for him. But then we got a report last night, and we'll wait to see if it gets verified, that he's coming to Washington, that he's going to be a Husky again. And that's where it certainly gets interesting. I've read the transfer rules. I still don't completely understand if he would have to sit out a year or not. But if he doesn't, what would redshirt freshman Sam Heward do at that point? I don't think he'd shy away from a competition. But it would also be surprising if Haener would be willing to come to a situation where he's not going to play. So would they really choose 1 year of Haener over 4 years of Heward? That would seem irresponsible given Sam's potential. And then it would almost feel like, you know, the Settlers bringing smallpox with them when they came from Europe. That's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour. We'll ask Brock Heward more about that situation. Brock, obviously, is Sam's uncle, and he'll join me coming up in 25 minutes at 7:45. So I'll ask Brock what he thinks. I don't know that he knows the answer, but just kind of want to talk through this whole thing because that was a surprise yesterday to hear that Jake Haener would be on his way. Hey, I got just 2 minutes here. I want to take a moment to talk about two people that are teammates of ours who are in this building that are both today departing the world of radio, and I'm bummed about both of them. They couldn't be more different, but I really like both guys. Neither one is on this station. I'll start by talking about Tom Tangney, who is one of my favorite people in the entire universe. I love Tom. For years now, he's been with John Curley on the Tom and Curley Show on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM in the afternoons. Tom is, every morning when I would do Brock and Salk, I would show up here to do the show at 7. And so I'd get here probably 6 o'clock, and Tom would be here soon afterwards getting ready for a 9 o'clock show because that's just how he is. And he'd prep hard and he'd read everything. And look, you got to spend some time getting ready to battle Curly all day. So like Tom would do that every morning. And arguably my favorite part of every day was just seeing Tom. I just love him.
He's a powerhouse.
Talk to him about politics, talk to him about family, talk to him about literature, talk to him about sports. He doesn't watch the games, but then he's got strong opinions about them based on what he's read about it. So he's a huge Husky fan. I hope that he still maintains a connection with the building because I would love to have him on the show more often. We've only had him on once. I love Tom Tangney. He is a genius. He is a hysterical human being, usually on purpose, and I think the world of him. So kudos to him. He is retiring today. He's going to be spending more time with his mom and his family, and I'm really, really, really happy for Tom that he no longer has to work with John. No,
probably Perry.
He loves John, and I do too.
Probably spending more time in Paris too.
I will guarantee you he spends more time in Paris. There is no more Francophile in the world than Tom. So that's one. On the complete other side of the political spectrum, Todd Herman is having his last day today on KTTH. He is choosing to leave to move on to a career as he's interested in being a pastor. He's got some podcasting ideas as well. I love Todd. Anybody who knows me and has listened to me for years, Todd and I do not necessarily agree on much when it has to do with politics or the way the world works. But I have an enormous amount of respect for him. I like him a tremendous amount as a person. I think he is one of the most talented radio hosts I've ever heard. I think he is a genius at hosting radio and telling stories. He is a brilliant, brilliant storyteller. He's another one who used to sit right when we were all here in the building. He would sit right outside this office, so I would have all kinds of opportunity to talk to Todd as he'd come in with his, flak jacket on. Todd's nuts in his own way. I love him. But he and I just completely disagree on the way the world is. And so I had a chance to talk to him and say goodbye to him the other day as he's departing radio. Truly a gifted storyteller. This is a guy who filled in for Rush Limbaugh. Like, they don't just give that to anybody. That's a pretty big gig. And he handled it incredibly well. So
some real fun debates with him and Mike Lewis.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah. That show obviously was ill-fated, Candy, Mike and Todd. But Todd is a really smart, funny, engaging, and tremendous family man, and he cares deeply about the people around him. So happy trails to both Tom Tangney and Todd Herman, two completely different human beings who have both conquered this radio game in their own way.
Could you imagine that show, Todd and Tom? Gosh.
No, I don't know that would work. That might be a bridge too far. But I honestly do love both of them, and congratulations to both on their next endeavors. Coming up next, Justin found me a story that is probably the most necessary thing and hopefully leads to a lot of positive change in the universe. I'll tell you about it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, that's pretty funny. I said Justin had a story that was going to make the universe better. Got a texter, 360, says, well, if it's not a Trevor story, then I don't want to hear it this morning. Well, I think it may be too late. I don't know. I guess there was a tweet from Buster this morning saying that the Mariners were working on third base options last night. Yeah, I know they were. But I don't know that anything got done. And if it didn't get done yet, then you know, I think it may just be too late.
Yeah, he just tweeted it 4 minutes ago, so it made me wonder if he thinks something's still going on.
Well, I'm sure they were working hard on it. But, I mean, I think they would have needed to have gotten it done last night because you need to get somebody in for a physical and all of that and then get it to the league office and have all that happen before it shuts down at 9 o'clock our time tonight. I just don't see how all of that is possible. I don't know. Maybe they got the guy ready to go, and you know, you get him here, and he's already on the West Coast or something like that. So I guess it's a possibility, but it does seem like that would be really, really challenging. They do have Robbie Ray signed up. He will join us coming up in a half hour at 8 o'clock. Jerry Dipoto himself will join us at 8:30 this morning. So a lot of baseball still to be talked. We'll talk Trevor Story and Chris Bryant and all those names. Kind of see where Jerry's at with all of it. But no, that was not the story I was talking about.
Did you mention this yet, the Kraken news?
Oh, I did not. I was going to leave that for Need to Know.
Okay, well, we can leave that for Need to Know.
No, I can tell people now. Now it's exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
We do have bad news, unfortunately, for the Kraken. Two guys head to IR, Chris Drieger, the goalie, and Kelly Yarncroke, the forward. So we don't know why, but because they never reveal anything in hockey. It's like state secrets trying to get
in. Yarncroke has already missed a few games, so hopefully, because they can retroactively put you on IR, hopefully he'll be back soon.
Hopefully. I don't know what they'll do without Kelly Yarncroke. But
the boy Callie, though.
I know. Chris Drieger, that's a much bigger bummer, and it does speak to, you know, why they went with Grubauer as well, because they this was originally supposed to be Drieger's ship. Right? He was supposed to be the goalie on this. I think that's what everybody expected. He's always been already been injured twice. And it's really too bad, the timing of it, because it looked like he was finally starting to come into his own and be the player that he was expected to be when they signed him here. And back to IR. So I don't know what's going on with him. I'll bet you money it's a groin. It always seems to be with goalies, but we don't know. All we know is I'm sure that it's a lower body injury or something like that. So yeah, unfortunate news for the Kraken. They will play Detroit tonight, but that's not, again, not the story I wanted to read to you. So the story here comes out of South Korea, and it's that they will be using a virtual reality test, a VR test, to determine if elderly people can keep driving.
Something we hear about constantly.
Well, you always hear this conversation,
exactly.
Right?
I'm saying, it's like, why don't we retest old people? Once they retire, right, we need to redo the test.
Well, now they're going to do it in South Korea, but rather than sticking them in a car, because who wants to get into that car and find out that the person's not ready to drive?
That's true.
They're going to do it through virtual reality, which to me makes a lot of sense. And that's a good use of virtual reality.
It's
better
a great
than
use.
What is the thing called, the Oculus? Heather was telling me, it's a hot Christmas gift this year. It's like, don't buy that for me.
I was just going to ask, do your kids want that? Have you not been hearing
about
that?
I don't want it.
Oh, you don't want it.
How do you know?
I've seen some of those things, like, looking on my phone, and you put it in, you look around, like, yeah, all right, cool.
They're pretty fun.
Are they?
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
Unless you get
motion sickness, do you get seasick or anything like that?
Sure.
Okay, because they definitely can be pretty unsettling in that world. Of course you get seasick.
I just didn't see what the upside is. Like, I'm mad that I get seasick because there's a lot of cool things that I'd like to be able to do in a boat that I can't. But like, oh, cool, I looked around the room. Awesome. Like, I just...
No, you got to try once. They're really
I fun. Have tried it. I don't like it. I don't understand what the upside of it is.
Well, then fine.
I'm not...
Can we have the Dr. Rick sound?
Jeez.
I know.
I don't think this is me being old. This is just me not liking it. I don't see what's cool about it. Like, it looks cool.
Because you're old.
No. Let's look at it for... Shouldn't old people find it more cool?
It's a constant battle. We're going to open a PDF. Who's next?
All right, we're going to put on an Oculus Rift.
Who's next?
Well, anyway, it at least got us thinking about other tests that we should institute in life. What do you got, Justin?
First one, and this one is just because this has been kicking around the internet the last few days because there's a new video that has put a book to this sound.
Okay.
So the test I have is before anybody sings at a national, or sorry, at a sporting event,
yes,
the national anthem, because we all remember this disaster.
By the dawn's early light.
Oh, Fergie.
Is that Fergie?
That's Fergie.
Wait, that's your what worst?
So proudly wail at the twilight's last gleaming.
Oh, and the best part, if you haven't seen it, are the players' reactions on the court.
They're all laughing.
That's
so, yes, I think you should have to start small. Practice at T-ball games.
You think that's worse than
Believe
Roseanne?
Believe us, it gets worse. Like, we won't subject everyone to the whole thing.
Well, but you think that's worse than Roseanne or Carl Lewis?
No, but I think the Roseanne and the Carl Lewis one were meant to sort of be like, you knew what you were getting with
that. She's a singer.
You bring Fergie out and you get this. Oh, you have, sorry, do you have one?
Dirty Harry said in one of his movies that a man's got to know his limitations.
What in the world?
Carl Lewis apparently didn't see the movie. If his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner
like
prior to
system.
Oh, oh, say can you see and the rock is I'll make up for it now.
No, you won't.
But he's not a singer by profession.
That's fair. But yeah. Neither is Fergie. Isn't she a dancer?
She's a singer.
Oh, she's technically a singer. Sorry about that.
Does that star
like Whitney Houston?
Wait. It's like this isn't a smoky jazz club. This is the national anthem.
Hey.
Start practicing at T-ball games. Ask kids for feedback. They're honest. Move down to high school assemblies and then move.
Maybe they can do it through virtual reality. All right,
how about a simple pass-fail test at the gate of every sporting event? Do you start or participate in the wave? It's quick yes or no. If you answer yes, you are banned from entry from this stage.
So I always see these polls that pop up on the wave, and it's like 60, 70, 80% of people say they don't do and hate the wave, and yet they're at every stupid sporting event.
I don't know how or why.
I won't participate in the wave.
That's the test.
I won't do it. Like, it comes around, and I glare at the wave and hope that it will just go away.
Yep.
Here's my guy, Dejan Kovacevic, who's a Pittsburgh writer. He's got, I think it's him, who's got this whole thing about like how the wave always spurs the away team to do something
good.
Yes! That like no matter when you do it, if your team's doing well and then you do the wave, immediately the momentum turns and the other team, the away team, will do something.
Nothing worse. How about learning the rules about lining up on special teams before you're an NFL coach?
All right. That's a low blow after what we just saw.
How about we do that one, Pete?
That's a low blow. That one's not very nice. How about this test for a fan? Can you watch the game for longer than 1 minute without staring at the Jumbotron? If you can, you can come to the game.
I hate the Jumbotron.
Yeah, I do.
Much.
I'm Dr. Rick on that one for sure.
Jeez.
If you can watch the Jumbotron for longer than a minute, you can stay. Otherwise, you'll get to watch a reality show somewhere.
I don't understand your obsession with hating the Jumbotron. I'm fine with the Jumbotron, by the way, for the record.
You got any more?
No, we do, but we don't got time.
What?
We don't got time. We got to talk to Brock.
All right. We do have to talk to Brock. We got to find out what's going on with his nephew. Sam Huard is one of the great prospects and quarterback prospects in all of college football. And now it sounds like he may be having a deal with a senior transfer. We'll talk to Brock about it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 East.
Ian Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, let's start off with you being an uncle before we get to you being an analyst, because I think what we... saw yesterday and this morning demand some questions about this whole thing. So Kalen DeBoer is going to be the new head coach of Washington. He was announced yesterday. And that was news, obviously huge news. But then what came next was perhaps more surprising, that former UW quarterback Jake Haener, who played for DeBoer while he was at Fresno State and actually blossomed into a pretty good young quarterback, he is transferring. And then we hear this morning, or maybe late last night, some reports that he's actually transferring to Washington. Mm-hmm. I think he's able to play right away. I don't think he needs to sit out a year. It's a little confusing. But with all of that going on, how do you handle that if you're Sam Heward?
It's chaos of college football, right? I mean, the last 4 days have been unlike anything I think I've ever seen covering the sport. And some of it is the brands involved, USC, Notre Dame, the prominent coaches, and Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly that have been at the top of the profession, both move on. The amount of pay that both of those men are receiving. I mean, it is the new state of college football. Players are unrestricted free agents, Mike. This transfer portal has opened that door to them. Name, image, and likeness has created opportunities that, you know, players have taken advantage of and look for greener pastures. So there's just kind of constant turnover every day. You asked me that question via text last night, and I just simply said, well, good question. I don't know what today will bring. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what that staff will look like. I don't know what players, you know, and that's the other job of these coaches. And it's absurd. Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley's contracts are absurd, but they are in many ways, you know, an outlier. James Franklin was able to leverage at the right time. And, you know, those monies are absurd. They're ridiculous. But what happens here alongside that now is those coaches, and I said this to you last week, they're not just coaching or recruiting high school kids. They're having to recruit all of their own. Kalen DeBoer has got to figure out how many kids want to come with him from Fresno. He knows the Mountain West Conference well, being in it, and how many, you know, may want to come from that conference and follow him there. How many in-house at the University of Washington want to stay there? Right, I mean, all of those things are ongoing. And oh, by the way, an early signing period is just a couple weeks away. Total chaos.
It sure sounds that way.
What do I want my nephew to do? I want my nephew to do what's absolutely in the best interest of my nephew.
Absolutely. Why
this
wouldn't
was not, yeah, I mean, just not 1995 and 1996 and you redshirt and you're there for 4 years. And if you want to transfer, you got to sit out a year. And there wasn't even a grad transfer. It was, yeah, I'm committed here and I'm going to redshirt. I'm going to grow and I'm going to develop. And, you know, that was a very different era and very different mindset. And, you know, that just... it's the whole paradigm has shifted, man. The players have more power. The coaches have a lot of power. This thing is a year. It really is. I mean, it is truly a year to year deal and decisions these kids all make and coaches now too.
Well, I mean, again, it really seems short-sighted on UW's part. This whole thing seems like a bungled mess, Brock. I'm sorry. I just, as I look at it from my standpoint, and I'm not connected to it. I'm not a college football aficionado, but you know, you end up with a guy from Fresno State, not a big name, not somebody who has all of the experience, et cetera, and has had done it at the Power Five level. And then the next thing you find out is that they're going to bring in a transfer who has been here before. They did this before. They chose,
and I've said this to you,
the 1 year
before
of Jacob Eason instead of going with Haener, which was a mistake at the time.
Yep.
How could you legitimately choose a year of Jake Haener over the future of Sam Heward? It doesn't make sense.
Well, and in that time, though, massive. It's been a massive sea change in college football, Mike. Name, image, and likeness and the open transfer portal. It's different than it was even 2 years ago with Jacob Eason. It just is. I mean, that is how fluid and how much this sport has changed that quickly. And I mean, and where it's going from here, anybody says, oh yeah, now I know how this is all going to look and how this is all going to take shape. Here's the bottom line. It sucks. It didn't work with Jimmy Lake. That's the bottom line. It really sucks because by all accounts, Mike, he had every tool in the tool bag. It should have worked. He had time on task here. He knew this program. You would have thought he'd have been a tremendous recruiter. You'd have thought he would surround himself with people that would challenge him and make him better and grow and evolve. It really, really stinks.
I don't know that it was ever going to work with Sam Heward and Jimmy Lake. At the end of the day, the guy who has the hat that says run the damn ball and the kid who comes out of the 7-on-7 and is a pro-style quarterback, how is that ever really going to work long-term? It always seemed like it was on a crash course for a problem.
I mean, that's one individual. I'm talking even much bigger than my nephew. I'm talking the entirety of the program. I'm talking the entirety of recruiting. I'm talking the entirety of ticket sales.
Fair.
I'm talking the entirety of booster relationships. I'm talking about all of that that goes into that.
No.
And oh, by the way, now finding yourself in a coaching market that is just the absolute choppiest, most chaotic waters ever. And that is what you find yourself in. So I point much bigger than just one individual on that team and say, for the entirety of the program, you never, ever wanted to be in this position, but you are, and you did the best you could in it.
I'm going to talk to Robbie Ray here in about 10 minutes. Excited about that. Jerry DePoto is going to join me at 8:30. It's a pretty busy day here. Matt Hasselbeck later on the show. It's like one of those days.
Tipping a podcast later.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big one. Brock and Salk podcast coming out later tonight. But let me ask you, as I was talking and thinking about this whole Seahawks thing and some of the mess and the people blaming each other, and we got Marcus Spear. Have you heard of the Marcus Spear sound? Have you heard this yet today? This will kind of crack you up. Just the beginning of it. I'll play it for you. Hold on. Here's Marcus Spears yesterday.
First of all, Russ gone. All right, I'm sorry, MK.
I don't know.
He gone.
That just cracked me up. Everybody's blaming somebody, Russ, Pete, John, et cetera.
I heard this morning.
I'm sure he was. Yeah, we know how this goes.
Yep.
Could all of this be solved by Pete, Russ, and John just doing their own job and nobody else's? Like, Pete, just put everybody in their best position to succeed. Pete, lead. Russ, play quarterback, get a little rest, stop being the GM, stop being a hero, stop being the offensive coordinator. John, just pick the groceries. Like, everybody just do your job. Wouldn't that fix this problem?
It's so simple, right? It's so simple. Sounds so simple in premise and impossible to execute, especially after a decade of experience together. That horse is long gone, way out of the Yellowstone barn, man. It is. They're all running wild, and now they're all in protect their own you-know-what mode. Cover my butt mode, and I'm going to look out for me, and because we're 3-8, Mike, and there's going to be no playoffs, and there's got to be, right, there's got to be someone to blame. Somebody's going to fall. That's the way the NFL works. That's the nature of it. Last year, it was Schottenheimer. 2 years before that, it was Daryl Bevel, right? It was Tom Cable. It was the finger is going to be pointed, and in this case, with this disastrous of a season, it's going to be pointed at one of those three.
Brock, we don't have any more time, but we do have some time to spend after the show. We will do the podcast today. I want to talk more about this doing your own job thing. We'll talk about what's going on at UW. We'll talk about this Mariners run. I don't know. Maybe there's still some chance you could get somebody here today, Trevor Story or Chris Bryant, if they're on the West Coast, and fly them in immediately and get something done before the deadline at 9:00 tonight. But we got a lot to talk about. We will do it on the podcast later today. Thank you, sir. We'll talk later.
Yes, we will.
All right, every day, 7:45 with Brock Heward here on the Mike Salk Show. I want to make sure we're out on time, though, because we're going to talk to Robbie Ray. He is the reigning Cy Young Award winner. He is the all-time strikeout rate leader in the history of Major League Baseball, and he's here in Seattle. He'll join me next. Mike Salk Show, talking to Robbie Ray, coming up on 710 ESPN Seattle.